By the yardstick we usually use to measure federal agencies' adoption of mobile technology, the rollout has happened at lightning speed. In June, the FBI went to bid on a contract for 27,000 licenses for Samsung Knox security software to run on new Galaxy S5 handsets. It made an award 4 days later, and it's deployed 22,000 of them to its 56 field offices over the past 4 months. David Rubin, the FBI's head of mobility, says the rest of the job should be finished soon.
I would say the end of this month, early February, we should have just under 30,000, which is tremendous. Our deployment as fast as we did it in under 4 months to get that out to 56 locations. That's multiple teams. We're able to do this through great partnerships that we have with our carrier and other vendors to make this happen.
The large Android deployment only pertains to devices running on the FBI's unclassified networks. But Rubin says the Bureau is simultaneously making inroads toward letting its staff connect to classified networks with mobile devices as well.
Our classified networks, we have a lot of thin client technology that we're pushing out to our field offices to really enable our special agents to do mission critical work right at the edge, either at a scene. We've had a number of events, things in the news, where we've had mobile kits enabling our agents to get that information real time. We're doing the same thing on our TS environment as well. Today, we do our daily director's brief. That happens every single day, where they were traditionally doing that type of brief on a binder, about a 500-page binder that would print off every single day. Just imagine how many trees we took out just for that one effort. We're moving that to a digital brief on a tablet accredited at the TS level, where they can do that. It's much more enriched with content, whether it's audio, video, pictures, and the like. So you have everyone in the room really using that type of form factor. So that's newly been provisioned. Our mobile apps is our next area that's really, really big for us.
With the expectation that the FBI will soon have a secure next-generation mobility infrastructure in place, the agency is now setting its sights on building a crop of mobile apps that don't just replace its legacy BlackBerry devices, but also let its field staff perform functions that, until now, have required a laptop or desktop computer. Rubin says the Bureau is crowdsourcing its app development process with its field agents, while a centralized governing board makes decisions about where the agency allocates its scarce dollars for mobile apps. The FBI also wants applications that support a wide variety of use cases, and it's trying to push them through the approval process in 8-week cycles.
That's a big push for us right now, where we have well over 25 apps in the pipeline that will be made available. Some of those apps are folks that are actually using them today. We have an agent that's on my team who's on our fugitive task force, and he's using our smartphone with a biometric reader, and he's enrolling people that, you know, either they're fugitives or they're under investigation or a variety of different things, and he's actually using that 123, where traditionally it was a 35-pound kit with a wealth of crypto gear to pull that out. Now the guy's in handcuffs, he leans over, gets his thumbprint, and boom, connects right to our back-end database out in CGIS for all of our NGI information that we make available. So it's use cases like that that are truly changing the way that we do business.
The tailored approach to mobility the FBI is creating was fashioned in collaboration with the Bureau's Enterprise Architecture Program Office, which had already created a strategy that rejected a one-size-fits-all approach to IT more generally and zeroed in on the idea that different personas within the Bureau would want and need to use technology in different ways.
Not every special agent is the same. Not every intel analyst is the same. Whether you have an agent that's very tactically focused, who's out in the street, you know, stopping bad things, putting bad people away, or do you have someone in our lab division who does a lot of collections, they need to interact with the technology differently, whether it's special gloves with how they touch the screen, whether it's a special stylus. So things of that nature is where we're really trying it out, and we're putting out what we like to call innovation pilots, where we try different technology, whether it's wearables and other things, to see what works. And a lot of it, you know, thankfully, is to do with the partnerships that we've had internally. So our mobile group is not just the IT staff. We have our security counterparts on staff within our actual group. We have our OGC. We have our records management. We make sure that all the groups are in. We turn those stakeholders into champions of this effort, so their interests are protected, so they get what they need on board. We negotiate, and sometimes it's not as pleasant, but we usually kind of drive into the end state that we need to provide that technology for our end users. Because at the end of the day, I'm competing with that special agent or that intelligence analyst personal device. And that, to me, is the worst thing ever. If I don't provide a capability that they can truly use, they're going to find it some way else. And that's kind of our agent's mindset. We have the best talent that I've ever seen in any place I've ever worked, where they will get the job done, no matter what. And because of that, I want it to be secure. I want it to make sure that they can communicate in the right way, and I provide the technology to them that they don't get it elsewhere.
The FBI thinks it's on the right track to providing its users with the technology they need, so they don't need to bring it themselves. But it was not always thus. The agency learned some painful lessons in some of its earlier experiments with mobile apps and devices, most of them dealing with trying to find the right balance between security and usability.
Our first solution that we put out there was so secure because we truly, you know, with our goal of untethering the workforce, we treated the mobile device like a desktop. So we filtered every bit of traffic, we hardened it, and we tested it out there, and the battery life we thought was good. But our end users, our agents, when we piloted out there in a controlled fashion, thought it was terrible. We have pictures of special agents plugged into the wall running a kidnapping. How do you do that? That's terrible. So we then backed off of certain things that we realized that really wasn't sustainable. And again, with our security partners saying, without saying, ha, we told you so, it was more or less, you know, let's work a little tighter. Let's see what we can do in terms of really separating out the FBI crown jewels, if you will, that the real important data on the device by containerizing certain aspects of the device. Instead of forcing every single thing through our trusted internet connection and really profiling applications so we can do like app level type VPNs and secure encryption over the air. So those are the key things that we did in order to get where we are today.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500.